2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 6, very familiar passage of scripture to each one of you, I'm sure, concerning our warfare. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means they're not physical. They're not fleshly. They're not of our own doing. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Just remember these words, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Now turn with me to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. A week or two ago, I talked to you about why do we do the things we do, and that war that goes on within us between flesh and spirit. Today, we look at a second element to that same struggle, not against our own flesh, but against principalities and powers, and where enemy spirits come in and seek to wreak havoc in our walk with God. In Psalm 78, we read of the children of Israel after they had come out of Egypt. They had been delivered through mighty acts of God. He had parted the Red Sea for them. He had cast down judgments upon Pharaoh in the land of Egypt. And he had brought them out by his might and by his power. And then they began to complain in the wilderness, and they began to doubt the God of power. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. The words of the Lord, I'm going to pause for a minute. The words of the Lord are full of power and might, and they transform our hearts and our lives. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. All of this first portion is about the importance of the powerful, mighty word of God being passed down from generation to generation. Amen. That it would be implanted within our hearts. Amen. I want you to begin to understand as I go into this morning, so many people don't understand. When they come to something like this, maybe they're strangers to the Word of God. And they hear what I just read, and it's like, oh, the law of God and ritual and instruction and all of these things. When in reality, this is so much more than that. These are supernatural words from the Holy Spirit. This is the living Word of God. When it speaks of the law of God, that speaks of the entire book. It's his word. It's everything that he speaks to us, because everything that he speaks to us cannot be altered. It is his law, but it's also his life-giving word. And so it's a supernatural thing, and it's filled with power. In verse 5, for he established a testimony in Jacob. Jacob is Israel, the nation of Israel, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright, underline that phrase, that did not set its heart aright. We're going to be talking about that this morning. And whose spirit was not faithful to God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. Marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers. You've all seen movies. If you've not been a good student of the Word of God, you've most likely seen the movie The Ten Commandments, or one of the movies of the Israelites coming out of Egypt and all of the awesome and powerful things, the wonders that God did. In the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan, he divided the sea and caused them to pass through. And he made the waters stand up like a heap. In the daytime also, he led them with the cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. Speaking of the pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance from like the depths. He also brought streams out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. But they sinned even more against him by rebelling against the Most High in the wilderness. And they tested God in their heart by asking for the food of their fancy. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, notice these questions. Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? God who has parted the ocean. Can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he struck the rock so that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide meat for his people? And turn over to verse 40 and 41. How often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Limited the Holy One of Israel. Can man limit the God of power? They did not remember his power the day when he redeemed them from the enemy. And we're going to stop there. God had promised an inheritance to these people. An inheritance to the children of Israel. You know that he had given them a promised land. He was going to take them there. And truly, his word and his power had proven magnificent, bringing about supernatural wonders that left them astonished. And they were promised that they were going to be taken to possess a land that was not their own, that God had promised to them. Beloved, everything that God has promised you that you will possess, there are powerful opposing forces that are set against you. God has given you a promise, just as he did the children of Israel, that there is much for you to possess. He's not talking about heaven at this point. That there is much in this life. There is a life for you that is filled with the wonder and the power of God, answers to prayer, guidance and direction, supernatural strength, miracles when they are needed, and many other things. God has promised this to you. He has promised that you may possess these things. But there is the equal, or not equal, but the opposing force, or the understanding that when you set your heart to follow the Lord after these things, there is an opposing enemy force that is set against you. For everything that he promises us, we have a responsibility. God doesn't promise us a promised land and say, now I'm just going to pick you up and I'm going to carry you over the wilderness and set you down in the promised land. No, he promises that you're going to go through battles, you're going to go through difficulties, there will be opposition, and that there are things that are your responsibility that you are to do in response to God in order to see his mighty hand in your life. There is your part. There is your role that you play in this walk of the Spirit. We have a great and mighty salvation that was attained for us on the cross of Calvary. How many can say amen to that? Amen. There, a great salvation that God has wrought for us on the cross of Calvary, that we have the promise of sins being washed away and forgiven through no merit of our own. We receive a free gift of salvation and the Lord comes to live within us. But there are two great dangers as we follow the Lord. The first is our not understanding what to do. In other words, ignorance. Many times believers are simply in ignorance of what their part is in following the Lord because they're not taught or because they don't study. You will see without me even teaching on it this morning how important it is that you know the word, that you study, as Paul said, to show yourself an approved workman, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so there is the danger of ignorance, and there is also then the problem of when we refuse to do what we do know. Refusal to do it. So we have the problem, the twofold problem of ignorance and disobedience. Ignorance and disobedience that can rob us of the inheritance that God has for us, the promised land that He has for us, all that He has ordained. I just cannot stress this enough. It is not to build up our ego. It is not to say that we are somehow so great. But you are so precious to the Lord that He went to the cross. He left the throne of heaven. He left the lordship of heaven. And He came in robes of flesh, took on human skin, and only for the purpose of going to the cross for you and I, in order that He might procure for you a destiny or an inheritance, a life that is filled with hope and promise and beauty and all of the things that He has ordained for you. There's so much good that He has ordained for you. Amen. So much that He, so many promises for you in His word. There is nothing boring about God. There is nothing disappointing about God. There is nothing that will ever cause you to be dissatisfied when you truly understand and follow the Lord. Many times as believers, we are ignorant of the schemes, but we are not supposed to be ignorant of the schemes that the enemy has against us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm not going to turn there. For the sake of time, Paul said, lest Satan should get an advantage against us, for we are not ignorant of the devil's schemes. He was saying, concerning himself and those with him, we are not ignorant of the tactics, of the strategies that the enemy has against us. Now, I realize, even as I'm speaking this morning, many believers live as though there is no devil, as though demons are not real. I understand that. But I'm telling you right now, that puts you in a very, very great disadvantage, because that's exactly where they want you to be. And the Bible teaches very plainly that you have an adversary, and he not only just opposes you, he has brilliant strategies against you. And if you don't understand those strategies, and you do not know how to stand against them, you will be robbed of your future. You will be robbed of the things that God has ordained for you, because there is our part and there is God's part. There's the part that we must do, and there is the part that God must do. I want us this morning to understand mindsets and strongholds. Mindsets and strongholds. The Israelites came out of Egypt with a great victory. God had performed most powerful miracles. And you would think that they would have possessed, after seeing the parting of the Red Sea, that they would have possessed such great faith that they could have immediately crossed over the 14-day journey to the promised land. And instead they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years because of their complaining, their whining, and their disbelief, their lack of faith. Their bondage to something that you're going to see in just a moment. And so God brought them out with great power and might. And if you remember, they came out with the spoils of Egypt. They plundered Egypt because they've been slaves for some 400 years. And they came out with the back wages of all that slavery. The Egyptians were throwing their wealth at them to get them out of the land. And the Israelites came out of Egypt with all of that wealth. But as they came out of Egypt with all of that wealth, they came out with something else. They came out with a mindset of slavery that had been ingrained in them for 400 years. 400 years of Egyptian slave mentality. 400 years of Egyptian mindsets and strongholds. Beloved, your salvation, when the Lord took you out of sin and out of bondage, Egypt and the Israelites is all given for us in the Word of God as a picture of our salvation. How God took you out of Egypt, out of sin, out of the bondage of the enemy, out of Pharaoh. Pharaoh was a picture of Satan. Out of the land of darkness and all of that slavery to self and to the enemy. And God delivered you through the cross of Jesus Christ and brought you out into a wonderful place to take you in to a promised land. And you came out by a great, great victory as the Lord broke the power of Satan over your life. Nevertheless, just as the Egyptians, just as the Israelites came out of Egypt with a mindset of slavery, likewise, you came out of your past with mindsets that are still many times ingrained in your life. God has promised you victory. He's promised you life. He's promised you liberty and a promised land, a place of great, great destiny in Him.
Yes.
But you have some things that are your part to overcome. And those things are open doors to the enemy of your soul. There are mindsets that you brought with you when you came to the Lord. There are mindsets that have been developed. Listen, you're going to understand some things about yourself this morning. There are mindsets in you that you have developed over a lifetime that perhaps you have never even thought of. So I want to begin with an understanding of mindsets and then strongholds. And then what do we do, or where do they come from, and what do we do to overcome them? A stronghold. We read first in 2 Corinthians that the weapons of our warfare are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. What are these strongholds? A stronghold, I have defined it over the years as I have taught and ministered in different ways. This is a little different today. I'm going to expand on it. A stronghold is a faulty pattern of thinking based on lies and deception, often enforced by the presence of demon spirits. I'm going to say that again. A stronghold is a faulty pattern of thinking. I used to say it this way. A stronghold is a fortress in the mind made of thoughts contrary to the Word of God. A faulty pattern of thinking based on lies and deception, often enforced by the presence of demon spirits in your life. Now, some of you are automatically thinking, but we're Christians and we're not subject to demons. No, you're not possessed by demons, but are you going to throw away the words of the Apostle Paul who said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against principalities and powers, demonic realities. We constantly wrestle against these things. A mindset is an ideology. You hear a lot about ideologies today in the world. A mindset is an ideology, a value system, a way of thinking that is ingrained into your mind. When God wants to deal with a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, He has to first deal with this huge issue of mindsets. I'm talking about after you become a Christian and you want to go, you want to experience all that God has for you and you want victory in your life, you've still got this big issue of mindsets. And in order for God to do a mighty work in your life, He is going to get to the root, first of all, of these mindsets. And so He must deal with this issue first. When demons reinforce, you're going to have to follow me and listen close for a minute, because this is going to explain something very important. When demon forces reinforce a mindset, see, a mindset isn't necessarily demonic. You can have a good mindset. We have in America many times, many families ingrain good mindsets in their children. You may have a good work ethic. That's a good mindset. But you may also have mindsets that bring you into places of bondage and in opposition to the Word of God in your life. When demons come along and they see a mindset in your life and they know it helps their purposes and they reinforce that mindset, they fortify that mindset, then it becomes a stronghold. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
And so demons will reinforce a mindset. They will fortify a mindset in order to use it as a gateway into a person's life. The mindset is then called a stronghold, because the mindset has now become so deep, so ingrained, because the enemy is determined that you will always respond now to everything based upon that mindset. They strengthen it in you. They give feedback, and they cause you to grab hold of it more deeply than ever. In other words, a stronghold is a mindset that has been crystallized by the presence of demon spirits to ensure that the person consistently thinks in accordance with that mindset. It has been solidified in your life so that you consistently think that way. Let me take this a step further. Listen closely. Mindsets are gates and doors in the spirit realm, which can authorize the entrance and influence of God, a good mindset, or can authorize the influence and activity of Satan, a wrong mindset. And so again, when demons fortify or control a gateway, it becomes a stronghold. Becomes a stronghold. Again, we are not to be ignorant of these devices, these tactics of the enemy. Listen, herein lies the real strength of our enemy. It is not in Satan's inherent strength himself. What is his strength? What is it that makes him such an incredible foe? It is his knowledge. It is his knowledge from eternity past. It is his knowledge of all of the things that go into that influence humans and cause them to fall. It is his knowledge of all of the multitude of pathways there are to get to you.
Yes.
You understand? There are many pathways that the enemy can use to gain entrance into your heart. In order to derail you, in order to lure you, in order to cause you to go away other than the way that the Lord has for you. This is the strength of the enemy of your soul, is that his knowledge of a multitude of pathways into your life is vast. And if we do not know how to shut these doors, we will not flourish in the things that God has intended for us to flourish. So let me restate thus far and a little differently. When Satan has free access to a man or woman's life, there are gates that are open. When mindsets are fortified by demonic realities, it is a stronghold. And when that stronghold is strong enough, Satan's plan is that it becomes a stranglehold. So, where are we now this morning? Look this way. We have mindsets that are just patterns of thoughts ingrained, ideologies, value systems, the way we were raised, many different things that we'll see in a moment form our mindset. Our mindset is ingrained, but Satan then gets involved in those parts of our mindsets that are contrary to the will of God. They are gateways and doors into the spiritual realm of our life. So he comes along, he sets up camp, and he strengthens and he fortifies those areas of our life that are in opposition to the word of God. Those bad mindsets, he comes along, uses those so that they form a legal gateway. He's able to look at the Father, look at God the Father, and say, look, I have access into your child's life over here because they've opened a doorway to me in this certain area of their life. And so there is an access point for the enemy to come into your soul. These things are fortified, they are strengthened, they are crystallized, they are solidified by the enemy of your soul. It is a stronghold. Mindset becomes a stronghold, and a stronghold is intended to be a stranglehold.
That's right.
on your spiritual walk, to choke the very spiritual life out of you. Let me enumerate three things about mindsets. Number one, the quality of a person's life is directly tied to his mindsets. Don't turn there, but Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Jesus said that out of the abundance of the heart, a man speaks. Someone says something just absolutely horrendous and offensive, and then they say, oh, I didn't mean that. But Jesus said that that's what's in the heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And these things come forth. In other words, your life revolves around your ideology, your mindsets, your value systems. If God is ever going to change your life, He must first do something about your mindset. Your life is the life that your mindset is giving birth to. The life you're living right now is the life that your mindsets are giving birth to. You're the product. Again, I'm speaking to born-again Christians, saved, and yet so much of the time walking in lives that are defeated, absolutely defeated, no power, no ability to stand, no joy in the Lord, because we cling to mindsets that have been ingrained in us for a lifetime. And we don't, sometimes we're ignorant and we don't realize it. Other times we realize it, but we're not willing to submit it yet to the Word of God. Now, before I go any further, I want to be sure that's understood in this church. For those who know what this is that I'm about to say and may have some concern, I am not talking about word of faith doctrine, promoting that. I'm not saying that, you know, you get what you speak. I'm not talking about some self-centered type of theology. I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking. I am talking about the transformation of the mind through the Word of God.
Yes.
In order that the will of God might be done in your life. Excuse me, it's not the power of positive thinking, but if you think, if your mindset says that God doesn't care for you, even though you know He cared enough that you've become a Christian, you accepted that love, but then you feel abandoned by God because He didn't do this or didn't do that, or because you're struggling, because you're failing, or whatever it may be, and you think God doesn't love you, God doesn't care for you, you'll never experience His love because you think that you can't experience His love. If your mindset says that people are all to be treated with suspicion, you'll never have quality relationships. If your mindset says that God's miracles were just for people in Bible times or maybe on the mission field today, you won't experience them in your life. Your mindset has to change.
Amen.
If you think that what we've been talking about here for months now, that revival, the power of God, the fire and the presence of God in your life, well, that's just for that's for more emotional people. Or for some people who are gifted with great, great faith, then you'll never experience revival and the fire of God in your life. So number one was that the quality of a person's life is directly tied to his or her mindset. Secondly, mindsets define our limits and possibilities in life. Mindsets define our limits and possibilities in life. These things overlap. Many times the limitations of your own parents cause you to have a mindset that is so embedded in your thoughts and in your life that you can't seem to ever rise above it. Negative things that have been spoken by others. Perhaps you've been told you never amount to anything. When people are told that enough, many times they can't amount to anything until God does a supernatural work of the stronghold being broken in their life. The mindset becomes a stronghold because Satan comes in and fortifies it. What does Satan do? You get a mindset. You get a mindset that, oh, I'm no good. And so you have that mindset. So what does Satan do? He arranges circumstances, brings things across your path to reinforce the idea that you're no good, so that you think more and more that that thing is true, and it becomes ingrained as a stronghold in your life. Number three, a man's mindset may limit God. You say, what? We know that God is limitless, but the way he works in our lives, a man's mindset may limit God in his or her own life. Why, we know that when Jesus went home to Nazareth, he could do very few miracles there because of the mindset of the people. They had no faith. We read in this passage of scripture in Psalms, we read in Psalm 78:41 these incredible words, they limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited the Holy One of Israel. They who had seen him part the ocean that they may go through. And then they limited the Holy One of Israel. They were so accustomed to the limitations of slavery that even though they saw God part the sea, they still thought they were destined to die in the wilderness. That is so contradictory sounding, and yet that is just how contradictory we are in our minds. How many of you know you can think two things that are contradictory and really, really believe them both? And you can think, oh, God's good, he saved me, and then you can spend the rest of your life thinking, but he can't do anything else for me. What a horrible state of being. What a terrible place to be. They were so accustomed to their slavery mindset. They said these things, and I'm paraphrasing, we read them. Oh, we know that he did that. We know that he parted the ocean. But can he set a table for us in the wilderness? Isn't that foolish? He parted the ocean, but can he really set a table for us? He gave us water to drink out of the rock. I think about people today. Oh, I know how our minds work. Oh, well, God, he's the God of all science. So maybe he knew where there was water under that rock and that it was thin there. And Moses just had to hit the rock with his staff and it was going to produce crack. And then the pressure of the water would break through. Science would take care of the rest. We limit the God of the universe when we try to explain away his miracles and we say, well, I know he did that, but can he really do this? Can he really give us something good where we are right now, even though we saw him do it in the past? We don't believe he can do it now. Some of you sitting in this room have seen God's mighty hand in some way in your life at past times, and yet you find yourself today overcome. Literally overcome with fear, with anxiety, with doubts that God can take care of the mess that you find yourself in, with doubts that God is big enough to take care of the need that you have right now. You don't think that he's strong enough to help you when you need him the most. And yet look how gracious he was at some time in the past. How many of you know that his miracle of saving you is greater than any miracle that he has ever done on earth? Greater than anything the Israelites ever saw, to take a soul that is lost and headed for hell and to transform that life and bring it out of darkness and shine his light in and cause you to understand and know what salvation is and that God died for you on the cross of Calvary is a great and grand miracle.
Yes, yes.
And none of those things in the Old Testament are as big a miracle as his resurrection. Yes, I know he did that. I know that he parted the ocean. I read about that in the Old Testament, and I really do believe it. And I know that he brought water from the rock. But can he really deliver me from this disaster? Can he really keep me? Can he really help me conquer my nasty tongue? Can he really deliver me from anxiety and fear? Can he really give me good relationships? I keep messing up every friendship I have. Can he really give me a real friend? So demons see these mindsets and they hear the words that you say and they come and they do everything around you and in your thought life that they can. They inject things to fortify those thoughts and those mindsets until they become a stronghold in your life. Demons see your mindset of selfishness, your mindset of negativity, your weakness when it comes to temptation, your weakness when it comes to fighting sexual temptation. Let me tell you something. It's hard enough in this life to fight sexual temptation, that mindset that has been put in you by the culture that you live in. How much worse when the enemy sees you struggling, and instead of you running to God for strength and power, you let the enemy just keep fortifying that mindset. You run to your little pornography or to your movies or to whatever it is, and you just help the enemy strengthen your mindset. You don't know what a mindset is until it becomes a stronghold. And then it's destructive and it's nasty. Yes. The walls. Some of you put up walls around your life and you only let certain people in. Satan will turn that into a stronghold that will cause you to live a long, bitter life isolated from everyone else.
That's right.
Your tendency to hate certain people. Your tendency to be easily offended. What a stronghold Satan turns that into.
Yes.
Your low self-esteem, your abandonment issues, or you were abused, or whatever it may be. They come along and they fortify it. They strengthen it. They say, look, we have a foothold. We have a foothold here, a mindset. And then they turn it into a stronghold. And eventually it becomes a spiritual stranglehold. They make sure that your mindset becomes your ingrained automatic pattern of response and thinking, no matter what happens. For many Christians, their mindsets are such strongholds that even when they hear the word of God, here's the tragedy. So you've let a mindset really become a stronghold. But you're a believer. You come to the house of God and you hear the word of God. And instead of subjecting, listen to this, instead of subjecting your mindset and your stronghold to the word of God, you subject the word of God to your stronghold and your mindset. You hear the word of God, you say, well, yeah, I believe that, but in my case, whatever, fill in the blank, because you've got a stronghold governing you. The word of God is able to totally eradicate the stronghold.
Amen.
But not until you subject it to the word of God. Not until you believe that the word of God is able to do that. And so people filter through their stronghold, through their mindsets, and they just allow in only the things that they think agree with their mindset. And they allow that to have entrance. So where do these things come from? How did you get these mindsets in the first place? Number one is culture. I know that in your life, many of you are taught, it's the big thing. If you watch TV programs, I love travel. I love to watch travel programs. But I just cringe when I say this compassionately, when these ignorant travel guides travel through these Eastern and Asian countries where they're doing all of these pagan satanic rituals in part of their demonic worship. And they say, oh, we want to experience everything they're doing. And so they go with them to their temples and they sit there so that the television cameras can film them. The crew can film them drinking snake's blood and doing all of these things and just opening their mind up to demons. One place after another. culture. You have ways of thinking, you have ideologies that you have adopted from your culture. And that may include your parents, but there are things that come strategically from the culture that is around you. For some people, even in America, that is occultic. Your culture includes some things that are occultic. And so you may have grown up in a home where even though you were Christians, you still cling to horoscopes. Or you cling to Ouija boards. Or mediums. You go to mediums. Or you call up psychics. Or you cling to your Eastern meditation and your yoga. You cling to beliefs that are contrary to the Word of God. You cling to your belief in ghosts. I've dealt with Christians that believe so strongly in the ghost, the departed spirit of some loved one still haunting their house. When the Bible says that we are absent from the body, we are either with the Lord or we are separated from Him until the time of the judgment, but they're not lingering here on the earth haunting houses. That's a demon spirit,
that's right,
deceiving people,
that's right,
into thinking that it is a loved one. Paranormal experiences, UFOs. You say, well, whoa, that's just, yep, that is an unidentified flying object. And thousands of people see them. Let me do this real quick because I don't have time to go very far into it. And many of you already know this. Hundreds of thousands of people, it's mind-boggling. Hundreds of thousands of people in America claim to have been abducted and taken on board UFOs. But beloved, I will tell you what to look for. Number one, you will never find a born-again Christian who has been abducted on a UFO.
Right.
Number two, those who have been abducted come back with a story and with a philosophy that they teach that is Eastern, Antichrist, New Age beliefs that teach contrary to the Word of God. It is demonic.
Yes.
It is all demonic.
Yes, it is.
The culture of politics. Your politics may be so ingrained in you that it's a hindrance. And I don't want to step on anyone's toes here, but I've encountered Christians that because their parents were Democrats, and you know that's changed over the years anyway, but their parents and their grandparents were Democrats, and it's like a religion in the family. And you try to tell them now, but if you will look at the Democratic Party platform, you say you're a Christian, but their doctrine states abortion on demand and homosexuality rights and all of these things as normal. It is so antichrist and contrary to the Word of God, no Christian can sign on to it. And so what do you do? But you've got mindsets, you've got ideologies, you've got culture that is so ingrained in you that it becomes a stronghold and you'll fight over it.
Yes.
And call yourself a Christian. You have regional culture, ethnic culture where you live. Many who are from Native American tribes, they become Christians and still try to integrate the religious practices of the Native American Indians, which are demonic,
yes,
into their Christian worship. That's the very thing Israel did in the Old Testament, and God judged them and sent them off into captivity. There are many from all different backgrounds who try to cling to those things from their culture, their rituals, in order to maintain them. Morality is influenced by culture, from Hollywood to music to movies, entertainment, all of those things, and people just let their head be an open cistern. And it just rains in. I'm amazed. I hear people today that just their very millennial language is all just a repetition of what they've heard liberals say. And they just talk about all of these things and they're just repeating everything that their culture says without stopping to examine it and say, what does that mean? Beloved, cultures develop in the world as vehicles for the accommodation and the operation of demons. Not all culture is bad. But if you want to know what the demons are, the strongholds over a culture, you look at its roots culturally, and you'll see what they are. Number two, mindsets form as a result of past experiences. And I've got to speed this up. Abused girls grow up with a mindset. Abused boys grow up with a mindset. Sometimes it can take them one of two directions. Abused girls may grow up with a mindset to hate all men, thinking that all men are evil. On the other hand, abused girls may grow up longing for love and find themselves chasing after men. All of these things are damaging. Abandonment causes mindsets. When a child is abandoned by a father or a mother, then they're looking for love anywhere that they can find it. They always feel unworthy. Unworthy, and they become victims and often become promiscuous because of these things. Boys are not exempt. Boys who are abused often become abusers of others. So when God wants to do something in your life, when He has a promised land for you and something great for you, He has to do something to break down the strongholds and the mindsets in your life. And the third one is that mindsets are formed by a level of exposure and association. You're limited by mindsets exposed to growing up, the mindsets that you're exposed to growing up. In other words, a mindset of poverty can have devastating effects on a family for generations to come. If you grow up in a home of poverty that really owns that poverty and doesn't try to get out of it, you may react in two ways. I have seen people do both. I have seen people come out of a home of poverty and their whole life, their adult life is governed by, I will never be poor. And then they have this craving to have everything they can buy and to fill their life with things in order to somehow establish their self-worth. Because they don't want to be poor. Others come out of a life of poverty and it's caused them to think, I don't deserve anything better. That's the way my family is. I can't be any better than my family. So they always sabotage their own success and they just won't rise above what they grew up in. These are mindsets, and the enemy comes along and makes them strongholds. On the other hand, you may have a good mindset that you were exposed to growing up that affects you in a good way. We have children in this church. We have young children in this church because they have grown up so far in a home where God's presence is real and where the supernatural is understood, that these children were exposed to praying in tongues when they were babies. And they began to pray in tongues. They pray in the spirit. They pray in tongues. They hear God speak because they grew up in a mindset that they were exposed to that allows those things and elevates those things in their home. Praise God. Number four, mindsets are formed by the failures and limitations in life. Failures and limitations in your own life. Repeated failures in school can develop into a mindset. Repeatedly being shut out of the group and not fitting in, being beaten up on or not being chosen for certain activities, being unpopular, having no real friendships, can cause people to develop a mindset and then to build their life upon that mindset. And then there are those who, even as a Christian, have failures in prayer. We don't talk about the failures. We like to talk about how great God is, how He answers prayer. But there are 1,000 things that enter in as to why some people may not experience that for a season in their life. And so they're a Christian, they're born again, and they trusted God with something really, really big, and they felt like God didn't come through. He didn't answer in the way that they asked Him to answer. And it was devastating to them. And worst of all, then it happened again. And maybe a third time they prayed and they said, God, why aren't you hearing me? I need this in my life. You have to come through for me. And I'm praying in faith and nothing happens. And those are the people then that you will hear. They are in the church. But somebody will say, God is faithful. God is faithful. I have never seen, the psalmist says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread, because God is faithful. And those people will fly in anger and say, faithful? You want to talk to me about God? Where was God when I lost my child? Where was God when I lost my house? Where was God when I needed him the most? And they have a mindset that's turned into a fortress, a stronghold, rather than seeking God until they understand. Life is hard, and sometimes things don't happen the way that we think they should. It does not do any good to then fight against God and develop a stronghold. So this morning, do you realize that your life has been so limited by mindsets and strongholds? And worst, for some of you, it's become a stranglehold. And every time God wants to do something in your life, you limit him. You limit him. For some of you, it means you'd rather just be a victim because it gets attention. And somehow, for some reason, you need that attention. For some of you, you just continue with that mindset and that stronghold. Maybe you build walls up and you only have certain people that you want to associate with and nobody outside of that little group. And you never know what it means to have the beauty of relationships that God has ordained for you. There are many who can never experience a good home because they have poisonous mindsets. They're filled with bitterness, and their bitterness spills over to everyone else. They grew up amidst poisonous mindsets, and now they replicate it in their own home. Some people can't have peace and normality. I have seen this. I've seen people that just, as a Christian, they cannot have what we would call a normal life with the peace of God in it because they are addicted to crises. They have a calamity in their life, and they call the church, they call the pastors, and the pastors come, and so they get them through that conflict, and you think, oh, got them settled now, they're going to be okay. And then 1 week later, Pastor, and there's some other calamity that's come, and it's like, how can these things? And a lot of times then you begin to realize they're creating these calamities. One crisis after another, they cannot live without stirring up a crisis because it brings them attention and what they view as love. Some people can't have real friends. 2 weeks into a relationship and they're either fighting with them or they're putting up walls or they feel threatened by them or they're jealous of them or they think they don't really like me and you judge their motives. Some people can't have or can't love because they're always offended. Or, and this is really hard, or they take pride in not, they've learned that you should not be offended. The Bible says don't be offended. So they are never offended because they never let anybody in. And they can say, oh, you shouldn't be offended. But they don't let people into their lives. Some are paranoid. The devil tells you that everyone hates you and everyone is against you, and he's strengthening that stronghold. Tells you that you'll never amount to anything. You've believed a lie, my friend. You've believed a lie, and so you always sabotage your own success and your own pathway to the promised land. Change my heart, O God. You remember when David prayed that? Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Is change my mindset. Change my mindset, O God, that I would think according to the thoughts of God. There has to be a tearing down and a building up. You remember when God told Jeremiah, I'm going to set you over the nations to tear down and to build up, to uproot and to plant. Speaking of things on a grand level, it begins in our own lives. We have to tear down things that are contrary to the Word of God. Build up things according to the Word of God. The Word of God renews the mind. It transforms the mind. If you don't have a life that is being filled with this, then you are open to the lies of the enemy of your soul. And they are so subtle, you think, oh, I would never do that. I learned enough in Sunday school growing up. The enemy is so subtle that if you aren't growing in the Word, studying the Word, he finds another crack in your armor. He finds another way to come around that you don't expect, to deceive you in your mind and to build up strongholds in the mind that have to be torn down, and they can only be torn down by the power of God. It begins with the power of His Word.
Amen.
The power of His Word. We have to submit our strongholds and our mindsets to God's Word. And we do it by exercising faith in God and in His Word and asking the Holy Spirit to help. There has to be a consistent yielding to this realignment, to realign ourselves with the Holy Spirit of God. The New Testament speaks of the washing of the water of the Word. I know that Paul talks about tearing down strongholds, but I believe it's consistent to say we wash out strongholds too. If you will wash your mind with the Word of God, you will wash out the strongholds that control your thoughts and the way that you live. But you have to see it. You have to understand. You say, God, open my eyes. Study the Word. Let the Lord show you the things that are in error. And say, now, Lord, I submit it to you. I need your help to change it. Tear it down, Lord. Take it out of me. I repent of it. I repent for having believed something contrary to your Word. You may take authority. Listen, and I'm closing with this. You say, well, what about, you're talking about strongholds of the enemy. Where does casting out, where does taking authority come in? Right now, I can invite you to come forward. And many of you, I can lay hands on you and I can take authority over that thing that's been fortified by the enemy in your life. And you say, oh, I feel precious relief. But if you don't change your mindset, you will walk out of here and it will come back 7 times worse. If you will first submit your mindset to the Word of God, Satan has to flee. You take authority by taking in and believing the Word of God. It does no good to cast something out that you're going to continue walking in. Let's stand. I don't know how to stress what a serious matter this is for the believer. God wants to do amazing things in your life. And here is the hindrance, these mindsets and these strongholds. They affect how you relate to people in the church. They affect how you relate in your family. They affect you walking in victory, in any form of victory as a Christian. They cause you, the neglect of this causes you defeat. And it causes you to be, you think, oh, I'm not in bondage. When you're not renewing your mind and you have these mindsets, it becomes a bondage in your life that can only be broken by the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. So this morning, I invite you as we worship and as we close, if you need prayer, I'll pray for you. But I invite you to submit your heart to the Lord and say, Lord, I realize that I have not been a student of your Word. And I have grown up, I have believed things, whether it's from my parents, my friends, my culture. I am just this open book, and the devil has written all into my mind and my life his will. And say, Lord, I want it to change. I want the victorious life and I want the inheritance that you have for me. I want to know what it is that you've planned for me in my life. And I want to be able to walk in it. I want one more little thing, because you might say, well, you know, Pastor Mark, you mentioned the power of positive thinking. And I used to be in that, or I know somebody in that, and it works. Well, of course, if you have a positive outlook, it is going to work in some ways. But listen to me. The power of positive thinking is the flesh nature. It is depending on self rather than the Spirit of God. It is being your own God. And you subject yourself, or you follow in the teaching. You go to Napoleon Hill and the fathers of that movement, and you begin to read and study, and you buy into the power of positive thinking. You may do like they do. You may believe it, receive it, and you may be rich 1 year from now, but it is at the expense of your destiny or your inheritance that the Lord has ordained for you. You can have what the world will give you through positive thinking, but it's not necessarily what God was going to give you, which is 10,000 times greater.
Amen.
Let's worship.